Hello and welcome. This is Brother Mike at May-21, 2011.com in a continued study on Jeremiah 51. We are now on verses 24 through 27. I'll begin by reading those verses and then going into the introduction and then our study. Starting with verse 24, we read, "And I will render unto Babylon and to all the inhabitants of Chaldea all their evil that they have done in Zion in your sight, saith the Lord. Behold, I am against thee, O destroying mountain, saith the Lord, which destroyest all the earth. I will stretch out mine hand upon thee, and roll thee down from the rocks, and will make thee a burnt mountain. And they shall not take of thee a stone for a corner, nor a stone for foundations, but thou shalt be desolate forever, saith the Lord. Set ye up a standard in the land, blow the trumpet among the nations, prepare the nations against her, call together against her the kingdoms of Ararat, Mini, and Ashkenaz, appoint a captain against her, cause the horses to come up as the rough caterpillars." The theme of this study is simply that Yahweh is against Babylon, which we learned long ago includes not only this world, but all the churches, as well as ever since Satan has taken over the churches, that is. So let me start over one more time. The theme of this study is simply that Yahweh is against Babylon, which we learned long ago includes not only this world, but all the churches as well, ever since Satan was given rule over them as judgment against them beginning on May 21, 1988. First, Yahweh is against this world, including all those in the churches, that is Babylon, as he will render unto them and to all the inhabitants of Chaldea. Chaldea was the southern part of the Babylonian kingdom. All their evil that they have done in Zion in our sight. Second, because Yahweh is against Babylon, that is this world, including all churches, he will stretch out his hand upon them and roll them down from the rocks, and will make them a burnt mountain. Third, because Yahweh is against Babylon, that is this world, including all churches, they, that is the people of Babylon, will not take of her a stone for a corner, nor a stone for foundations, but she will be desolate forever. And finally, because Yahweh is against Babylon, this world including all churches, we are told to set up a standard in the land, blow the trumpet among the nations, prepare the nations against Babylon, call together against Babylon the kingdoms of Ararat, Mini, and Ashkenaz, appoint a captain against Babylon, and cause the horses to come up as the rough caterpillars. Now, just what does all this mean for us today? This is the question that will be answered in this study of Jeremiah 51, 24 through 27. May our Lord Jesus Christ, who is soon to appear, grant to us wisdom and insight in the treasury of his word. Amen. Well, let's begin with our first verse once again. That's verse 24 of Jeremiah 51. It reads, "I will render unto Babylon and to all the inhabitants of Chaldea all their evil that they have done in Zion in your sight, saith the Lord." In this verse, we first read, Yahweh will render unto Babylon and to all the inhabitants of Chaldea all their evil that they have done in Zion in your sight. Here we are being told that Yahweh will repay Babylon and Chaldea for all their evil that they once inflicted upon Zion in the sight of Yahweh's people. The evil that Babylon and Chaldea inflicted upon Zion, that is Jerusalem, was that they conquered Zion in 587 BC, and they took many of the Israelites into exile in Babylon. To repay Babylon and Chaldea for having done this to his people, Yahweh raised up the Medes and the Persians under King Cyrus to conquer Babylon and Chaldea, which they did historically in 539 BC. But there is a deeper spiritual and latter-day application of this verse which is more pertinent to us today. In this application, the Babylonians and Chaldeans represent all the false, unsaved Christians who were used by Satan during the Great Tribulation from May 21, 1988 to May 21, 2011 to spiritually conquer and take over all the New Testament churches, the churches being the Latter-day Zion or Jerusalem. And they overtook them with false gospels and teachings. These false Christians are now all those who have remained in the churches, who did not obey the Lord's command to depart out from them. It is these false, unsaved Christians, whom we can call Babylonians or Chaldeans, that now make up all the churches whose evil against Zion, that is against all the churches, as they brought into the churches false gospels and teachings, has now been rendered or repaid back to them as Yahweh with Christ, who was typified by King Cyrus, has now conquered all the churches, that is the Babylonians or Chaldeans, by having removed from them any possibility of eternal salvation ever since May 21, 2011. None of those who now abide in a church can ever be eternally saved. They are all now destined to remain spiritually dead, and they will all now be destroyed on the relatively soon to come last day of Judgment Day in which we now find ourselves. Now our verse finishes by saying, saith the Lord. Literally it reads, says, capital YHWH. Now, exactly how these four continents should be pronounced is not perfectly clear because the original Hebrew text had no vowel points. Nevertheless, a good approximation of pronunciation, at the least, is the word Yahweh, so that we will translate saith the Lord as says Yahweh. That is, our verse is not what any old human might say, but it is the very word of God and must be listened to, for everything declared by Yahweh will certainly come to pass, just as Yahweh has already done what he said he would do by rendering or repaying unto Babylon and the Chaldeans, that is all those who now reside in the churches, all the evil they did to the churches in the sight of the elect, with their false gospels and teachings by having removed any possibility of their eternal salvation ever since Judgment Day began on May 21, 2011. So, in summary, when Yahweh says that he will render unto Babylon and to all the inhabitants of Chaldea all their evil they have done in Zion in your sight, he means in our day that he would render or repay all those who now in the so-called Christian churches, he would render to them no more possibility of eternal salvation because they spiritually destroyed the churches, also called Zion or Jerusalem, with their false gospels and teachings during the Great Tribulation from May 21, 1988 to May 21, 2011, and this was all done in the sight of the elect. Yes, the elect were in the churches and saw all the evil done to them, but they soon departed out from all those churches during this time in obedience to their Lord, so that the churches are now left alone with nothing but the unsaved, false Christians, also called Babylonians or Chaldeans. The saved, true Christians, also called the Medes, on the other hand, are now outside all the churches, and they are bringing judgment against Babylon, this world, including all the churches, under the rule of Jesus Christ, who was typified by King Cyrus of the Medes and Persians, who historically came against and conquered Babylon, as I said before, in 539 BC. Well, let's move on to the next verse, which is verse 25 of Jeremiah 51. Verse 25 reads, "Behold, I am against thee, O destroying mountain, saith the Lord, which destroyest all the earth, and I will stretch out my hand upon thee, and roll thee down from the rocks, and make thee a burnt mountain." Here we first read, "Behold, I am against thee, O destroying mountain, saith the Lord, which destroys all the earth." Here the word translated as "behold" is a word that is meant to grab attention. It's like saying, tune in and pay careful attention to what is about to be said. And what is said is this, "I, Yahweh, am against thee," that is against Babylon, "O destroying mountain, says the Lord, which destroys all the earth." So Yahweh is making it clear that he is against Babylon, which refers to this world, including all the churches. I say now that Babylon includes all the churches, because ever since the Antichrist, the counterfeit Christ, Satan, began ruling in the temple, that is the churches, on May 21, 1988, as God's judgment against them, the churches became known as Babylon, because they began to be ruled over by Satan, who was the king of Babylon. And for more information on this, you can click on the link, 2 Thessalonians 2, 1 through 11, and certainly click on the link, "Why Leave All Churches?" Now we read that Babylon is called a destroying mountain, which destroys all the earth. Since it is common knowledge that a mountain in the Bible can be symbolic of a kingdom, we are being told that Babylon is a destroying kingdom, which destroys all the earth. The ways in which Babylon destroys all the earth are multitudinous. But just think about all the false religions that Babylon has propagated throughout the world. None of them could ever eternally save anyone, whether it was Judaism, Islam, Buddhism, Hinduism, Confucianism, Taoism, atheism, Mormonism, Catholicism, materialism, the false Christianity and the churches of our day, or any other religion for that matter. But they have all locked people into false belief systems that guarantee their sure eternal damnation. So, by her propagation of false gospels, religions, and beliefs alone, Babylon has destroyed all the earth. She has ensured that the vast majority of the human race will perish in their sins, and they will not have eternal life, but they will experience complete annihilation in the fires of eternal death on the relatively soon to come last day of judgment day that we are now in, when all those who are in the graves and unsaved, and all those who still remain and are unsaved, will be brought forth to eternal damnation in the flames of annihilation. While all those who are in the graves and saved, and all those who still remain and are saved, will be brought forth unto eternal life in new glorious bodies, fit to live in the new heaven and earth forever. Amen. Next, amid saying he, Yahweh, is against Babylon, the destroying kingdom that destroys all the earth, we read, saith the Lord. As was revealed earlier in this study, we will translate the word Lord as Yahweh. So our verse reads, says Yahweh, and not says the Lord. Hence, our verse is not being stated by just any old one, but by Yahweh himself through Jeremiah. Indeed, until the Lord ended his revelation in about 95 AD with the book of Revelation, certain people did receive errorless revelations directly from God. So the words of Jeremiah, for instance, were the very words of God. And the words of Agabus in the New Testament, Acts 21:10, were the very words of God. But today, ever since about 95 AD, when the end of the last book of the Bible stated, if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life, and out of the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book. Revelation 22:18. It means that Yahweh is no longer giving direct revelation to anyone. Otherwise, that person would be adding to or taking away from the words of the Bible, which were completed with the book of Revelation. Indeed, ever since the Word of God was completed with the book of Revelation in about 95 AD, God is no longer giving direct messages either in voices, dreams, visions, tongues, prophesyings, or by any other means. For the words of God are complete. They are complete as we see them in the Protestant Bible alone. The Catholics, on the other hand, have added to the Bible, as, for instance, they've added the Apocrypha books to their Bibles. And you can see that by clicking on the link, The Bible and Catholicism. So they've added the Apocrypha books, as well as visions, dreams, and the like. They still hold to, for example, the visions of Fatima. And so they are subject to the plagues that are written in the Bible, that is, eternal death. Like I said, they also believe that God is still giving messages in dreams, visions, voices, and the like. So they have a wider authority than just the Bible alone. And they must be seen for what they really are, namely a false gospel, a lie of the evil one, a snare of the trapper, the devil himself. Now, returning to our verse, we read, "And I will stretch out my hand upon thee." Since the word hand commonly represents the will in the Bible, we are being told that I, Yahweh, will stretch out my hand, that is, mine will, upon thee, upon Babylon, that is. In other words, Yahweh will impose his will upon Babylon, and the way in which he will impose his will upon Babylon is, we read, to roll thee, that is Babylon, down from the rocks, and to make thee, Babylon, a burnt mountain. But what does it mean that Yahweh will roll Babylon down from the rocks? To be on the rocks is to be in a stable, firm, protected, and secure place. So to be rolled down from the rocks is to lose your stability, firmness, protections, and security. Whereas Babylon, this world, including all churches, has thought in some way that they will live secure and eternally, Yahweh has rolled them down from their delusion and is telling them, in these days, through the elect and his word, that they will not be secure and be eternally saved. Yes, all those who have remained in the churches will not be eternally saved. I encourage you to click on the link, Why Leave All Churches? And all those in the world who were not saved by May 21, 2011, will not be eternally saved either, as well as all those conceived and born after this date. Indeed, Babylon has been rolled down from the rocks of her supposed security and salvation ever since Judgment Day began on May 21, 2011, when any possibility of eternal salvation became extinct and Babylon's sure destruction became at hand. Now in the Bible, Jesus is referred to as a rock. We read in Romans 9, verse 33, as it is written, "Behold, I lay in Zion a stumbling stone and a rock of offense," that is Jesus, "and whosoever believes on him shall not be ashamed." And again we read in 1 Corinthians 10, verse 4, "And did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ." Jesus is called a rock because to be on this rock, that is to follow his teachings, one has great spiritual stability, firmness, and security, as one's house would have by being built on a rock instead of the sand, for instance. As we read in Matthew 7, verses 24 through 27, "Therefore, whosoever hears these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man, which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon the house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine, and doeth them not, shall be likened unto a foolish man, who built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon the house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it." The problem comes when one's foundation is not the rock, but another rock that crumbles as the sand. In Deuteronomy 32, verse 31, we read, "For their rock is not as our rock," even our enemies themselves being judges. And this is the problem with all the churches in our day. "For their rock is not as our rock." And during Judgment Day, we read that Yahweh will roll all those in the churches, Babylon the Great, down from their rock. Yes, their rock, the false or counterfeit Christ, gave them a degree of security in this world, but it cannot give them any security during Judgment Day that we are now in. For it has been revealed that all those in the churches of our day can no longer have any hope for eternal salvation as it has ended on May 21, 2011. And the eternal salvation that they think they do have or will have has been exposed as nothing but a delusion. They did not depart out from the churches in obedience to the true rock by May 21, 2011. And this is all evidence that their rock is not as our rock. They are now destined to remain spiritually dead in Adam, which guarantees their soon to come annihilation on the last day of Judgment Day that we are now in. Now Yahweh continues in our verse by saying this, "And will make thee," that's Babylon, "a burnt mountain." As we mentioned before, a mountain is representative of a kingdom, and in that it is a burnt mountain means that it is a kingdom under judgment. That is, the fires which have burned the kingdom of Babylon are representative of judgment itself, as it is common knowledge that fire represents judgment in the Bible. So in that Yahweh will make Babylon, this world, including all churches, a burnt mountain is referring to Judgment Day that we are now in, when the kingdom of Babylon has been burnt by the fires of judgment, and those fires have removed any possibility of eternal salvation ever since May 21, 2011. This means that all those who were not saved by that date, including all those who have remained in the churches, and all those who were conceived and born after that date, are certain to perish on the relatively soon to come last day of Judgment Day, in which we now find ourselves. That'll be when all those who are in the graves and unsaved, and all those who still remain and are unsaved, will be brought forth unto eternal damnation to be annihilated forevermore. Let's move on to verse 26 of Jeremiah 51. Verse 26 reads, "And they shall not take of thee a stone for a corner, nor a stone for foundations, but thou shalt be desolate forever, saith the Lord." In this verse we first read, "And they shall not take of thee a stone for a corner, nor a stone for foundations." At first glance, one might think that this is saying that the people of Babylon will not be able to physically build during Judgment Day. But that is not what this verse is teaching. Rather, it is teaching that the people of Babylon will not be able to spiritually build because there is no stone for a corner, no stone for foundations. And the stone for a corner represents Christ. We read in Ephesians 2:19, "Now therefore you are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone." And again, we see that Christ is the stone for a corner, that is the cornerstone, in 1 Peter 2, verse 6 through 7. "Wherefore, also it is contained in the scripture, Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believes on him," that is on Christ, "shall not be confounded. Unto you, therefore, which believe, he is precious, but unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, that is Christ, the same is made the head of the corner." We also find that Jesus is a stone for foundations, that is the foundation stone, because he is the foundation. We read in 1 Corinthians 3, verse 10 through 11, "According to the grace of God which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another builds thereon. But let every man take heed how he builds thereupon. For other foundation," or we could say, "for no other foundation, for no other foundation," or let me read it again, "For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ." So Christ is both a stone for a corner, the cornerstone, and he is a stone for foundations, that is the foundation stone. Therefore, when our verse says, "And they shall not take of thee a stone for a corner, nor a stone for foundations," it means that they shall not take of Babylon Jesus Christ to spiritually build with. Why? Because Christ cannot be found for eternal salvation. If Christ could be found for salvation, then people of Babylon would be being eternally saved, and each of these saved people would then become a stone in the building that has the cornerstone of Jesus Christ and the foundation of Jesus Christ, so that that building would be taking place. But since Christ cannot be found for eternal salvation, no one is being saved in Babylon, and spiritual building cannot therefore take place. And we know that this is because Christ cannot be found for eternal salvation ever since May 21, 2011, when Judgment Day began. Our verse, then, is teaching that eternal salvation ended on Judgment Day because there's no stone for a corner, nor a stone for foundations. That is, there is no Jesus Christ to save people of Babylon. Indeed, no spiritual building is taking place in this world. nor in the churches during this time of Judgment Day that we are now in, because they, the people of Babylon, are not able to take of thee, Babylon, a stone, that's Jesus Christ, for a corner, nor a stone, that's Jesus Christ, for foundations, because Jesus Christ cannot be found for eternal salvation in the day of judgment in which we now find ourselves. Now our verse continues, and it says, and they shall not take of thee a stone for a corner, nor a stone for foundations, but thou, that's Babylon, shalt be desolate forever. We already learned that they will not take of Babylon a stone for a corner, nor a stone for foundations, means that the people of Babylon, that is the people of this world, including all the churches, will not be able to find Christ for eternal salvation during Judgment Day that we are now in. Then we read, but thou, Babylon, shalt be desolate forever. In other words, to be desolate is to be without Christ for eternal salvation forever. That is the definition of being desolate forever. So Babylon, this world, including all churches, has become desolate forever ever since May 21, 2011, because they will never have Christ for eternal salvation ever again. They are certain to remain spiritually dead in Adam, which means they will all soon physically perish, as well as on the relatively soon to come last day of Judgment Day that we are now in, when they will all be annihilated in the fires of God's wrath. And once again, our verse says, saith the Lord. We have discussed these words before, so I won't go into depth on them again, but leave it to say that we will translate the word translated as Lord, as Yahweh. So our verse reads, says Yahweh. This reminds us that the words of Jeremiah are the very words of Yahweh himself. Now we will cover one more verse, that's verse 27 of Jeremiah 51. Let me read that verse so that we can finish our study and then go into a conclusion. It reads, set ye up a standard in the land, blow the trumpet among the nations, prepare the nations against her, call together against her the kingdoms of Ararat, Mini, and Ashkenaz. Appoint a captain against her. Excuse me. Cause the horses to come up as the rough caterpillars. Here we first read, set up a standard in the land. The word translated as standard can be translated as banner. So we are being told to set up, that is, lift up a banner in the land. And what should this banner say on it? One possibility I will give in this study, it has the heading, May 21, 2011 began Judgment Day. And then under that, a subheading, Babylon the Great, all the churches in the world is fallen, Revelation 18:2. And then another subheading, eternal salvation no longer possible. All the hundreds of millions who did not obey Christ to depart out from all the churches by May 21, 2011, and all the billions of people in the world who were not saved by May 21, 2011, as well as all the ever-growing hundreds of millions who were conceived and born after this date, are now certain to perish for their sins on the soon-to-come last day of Judgment Day that we are now in. And at the bottom, we leave the website, May-21-2011.com, so that people could go to that and get more information if they wanted. So, according to this verse, what we must do is lift up this message to the entire world and all the churches. One way we can do this is by passing out flyers. And we have two flyers. You can click on one or the other link. This is a very cost-effective way to get out the message with flyers. Other ways are numerous, such as advertising on billboards and newspapers, on the internet, on social media, on radio, on car doors, on t-shirts, on hats, and so on. However we do it, we must obey our Lord and set up a banner in the land. But now we read, blow the trumpet among the nations. Blow the trumpet among the nations. Here we are not meant to take this literally and blow a literal trumpet among the nations of the world, although there would be nothing wrong with that as long as the hearers are clearly told what it represents. But the blowing of the trumpet is representative of announcement or warning. In our case, it represents the announcement that Babylon has fallen or Babylon is taken. That is, the world and all the people in the churches are fallen or taken because there's no longer any possibility of their eternal salvation in Jesus Christ. We are to get out this message of judgment so loudly and clearly that it is as if a trumpet were being blown in all the ears of the people. The sound of it should not be mistaken, and it should be being announced loudly as a trumpet in that it is being announced in many ways. Yes, to blow the trumpet among the nations means that we announce in many ways to the world and all the people of the churches that judgment has come upon them as of May 21, 2011, and none of them can any longer be eternally saved in Jesus Christ. They have become desolated. Oh yes, we had announced that this would happen in leading up to May 21, 2011, but now, ever since then, we are to announce that it has happened. This is blowing the trumpet among the nations. We are to continue proclaiming judgment. Leading up to May 21, 2011, we foretold that judgment would come, that salvation would end. But now we are to proclaim that it has ended, that it has happened. And from everything I'm reading, this is not something we were just to do leading up to May 21. It's something we need to be doing now in this day of judgment. Then, continuing with our verse, we read, prepare the nations against her. Prepare the nations against her. Literally, it reads, sanctify against her nations. Sanctify means to set apart. And the nations to be set apart against her, that is against Babylon, are not the nations of the world, but the nations of the elect scattered throughout the world. They are the nations to be set apart against this world, including all the churches, that is Babylon. And how do we set apart the nations of the elect? Why, we do this by educating the elect throughout the world of their calling to be sending out the message that eternal salvation has now ended for the entire world, including all the churches. And what the consequences of this are, namely, that anyone who is not eternally saved in Jesus Christ by May 21, 2011, and all those who did not depart out from all the churches in obedience to the Lord's command by this date, as well as all those who were conceived and born after this date, are now certain to perish without eternal life on the relatively soon to come last day of judgment day that we are now in, when all those who are in the graves and unsaved and all those who still remain and are unsaved will be brought forth unto eternal damnation in the fires of annihilation. Now, we read further in our verse that we are to call together against her, that is against Babylon, the kingdoms of Ararat, Mene, and Ashkenaz. The kingdoms of Ararat refer to peoples who lived in the mountainous region of eastern Armenia, near to where the ark landed on Mount Ararat. Spiritually, Mount Ararat symbolizes the kingdom of those who escape God's flood of judgment, who typify the elect who have escaped God's final wrath of judgment that began on May 21, 2011. Then, the kingdoms of many refer to peoples who lived in another region of Armenia that were under the Median kings. That is, they were kingdoms of the Medes, who we have concluded in other studies also typify the elect. And you can click on the links to see this. Then the kingdoms of Ashkenaz were those identified with Ashkenaz and his descendants. Ashkenaz himself was the son of Gomer, who was the son of Noah's son Japheth, Genesis 10:1-3. And they once again represent those who escaped the flood in Noah, so that, like the kingdom of Ararat, they typify the elect who have escaped Yahweh's final wrath of judgment that began on May 21, 2011. So all three kingdoms, Ararat, Mini, and Ashkenaz, spiritually represent the kingdoms of the elect. And there are three kingdoms mentioned to emphasize that it is God's purpose for the elect to be called together against Babylon. And you can click on the Bible number 3 for information on the symbolic meaning of the number 3. Now we are told to call against her, that is against Babylon, the kingdoms of Ararat, Mini, and Ashkenaz, which kingdoms we saw typify the elect. So we are to call together against Babylon the elect. But how do we call together the elect to go against Babylon? Well, what we do is get out the message, such as I am now doing, to the elect, that they should all be involved together against Babylon. Their job is not done, as many think. Ever since May 21, 2011, the job of proclaiming judgment, that it has come, that the wrath of God has come upon this world and the churches, and how it has come, is what the elect should be doing in this time. And to get involved in coming against this world, including all the churches, that's Babylon, is to help in as many ways as possible to get out to them the message of judgment, that God's wrath has come upon them all ever since May 21, 2011, by his having eliminated any possibility of any of their eternal salvations. This not only ensures that anyone who was not saved by May 21, 2011 will not ever be eternally saved, but it also ensures that they will all perish on the relatively soon to come last day of judgment day that we are now in. Next, our verse continues. Appoint a captain against her. Appoint a captain against her. That is, appoint a captain, or we could say a marshal, against Babylon. That is, against the world, including all the churches. And the way that we the elect appoint a captain is to surrender our wills to obedience to the Word of God, Jesus Christ. He is our captain. As we do this, as we do His will in bringing the message of judgment against the world and the churches, we have appointed Him. We have appointed Him to be our captain. In other words, when we choose to obey Christ in everything as taught in the Holy Scriptures, we are appointing Him as our captain. It is an action that we do when we obey Him to be bringing this message to the world. We are appointing Him. When Yahweh says, appoint a captain against Babylon, it is a command for us to stop sitting and doing nothing, but to get busy in helping to get out the judgment message to the world and all churches in obedience to our captain, Jesus Christ. Yes, you may have done this in leading up to May 21, 2011, but now you are to continue getting that message. That wrath of God has now come, as there is no longer eternal salvation possible. It is a terrible time. It is a time in which we know that time for the unsaved is about to end in annihilation on the soon-to-come last day of Judgment Day. that we now find ourselves in. Well, the last thing that we read in our verse says, cause the horses to come up as the rough caterpillars. Here the word translated as horses, plural, is really the word horse, singular, in the Hebrew. And the word translated as rough, as in rough caterpillar, can be translated as bristling, bristling, as in a bristling caterpillar. So our verse now reads, cause the horse, singular, to come up as the bristling caterpillar. The horse in the Bible is commonly known to represent the strength of mankind, especially in battle. And the caterpillar represents judgment, as it is a part of the life cycle of the locust, which has everything to do with judgment in the Bible, as we have learned in Jeremiah 51:14 that you can click on to see. So when our verse says, cause the horse to come up as the bristling caterpillar, it is commanding us, the elect, to come up against the world and the churches as if in the great strength of the horse, as we bring judgment against her as the bristling caterpillar to devour all their food substance. And in a sense, we are devouring Babylon's food substance when we are making it known one by one that there is no longer any food available to them unto eternal life. Well, let's conclude our study and refresh our memories a little bit. In conclusion, we first saw that Yahweh is against Babylon, that is this world, including all churches, as he will render unto them and to all the inhabitants of Chaldea all their evil that they have done in Zion in our sight. Since Babylon and Chaldea were both a part of the Babylonian kingdom, they both represent the world, including those who have remained in the churches. Yes, Babylon and Chaldea represent all those false Christians that were used by Satan to conquer all the churches in the sight of the elect from May 21, 1988 to May 21, 2011 with false gospels and teachings to spiritually destroy them all. But now, ever since May 21, 2011, Yahweh has rendered back to them for all the evil they did to Zion, that is to all the churches, by having left them without any possible of eternal salvation, without any possibility of eternal salvation. All those who were not saved by May 21, 2011, including all those who now fill the churches, will never be eternally saved. And they are certain to remain spiritually dead in Adam, to soon be destroyed forever on the last day of judgment day that we are now in. Next, we saw that Yahweh is against Babylon, that is against this world and all the churches, as he will stretch out his hand upon them and roll them down from the rocks and will make them a burnt mountain. These things we found took place on May 21, 2011, when Yahweh made it his will to roll them down from their secure place of thinking that they are secure and eternally saved, by making it known that they are not secure and eternally saved. Indeed, Babylon has been made to be a burnt mountain, that is, a kingdom judged in the fires of God's wrath. Then we saw that Yahweh is against this world and all those in the churches, that is Babylon, as they shall not take of thee, that is Babylon, a stone for a corner, nor a stone for foundations, but thou, Babylon, shalt be desolate forever. This, we found, means that the people of Babylon would not be able to become eternally saved ever since May 21, 2011, and this is what it means to be desolate forever, namely, that there is no possibility of becoming eternally saved forevermore. And finally, we found that Yahweh is against Babylon, that is this world, including all churches, so that we are to set up a banner in the land. Blow the trumpet among the nations, prepare the nations against Babylon. Call together against Babylon the kingdoms of Ararat, Mini, and Ashkenaz. Appoint a captain against her and cause the horse to come up as the bristling caterpillars. Now, to set up a banner in the land means to lift up the message of judgment. To blow the trumpet among the nations means to get out the message of judgment to all the nations in as many ways as possible so that the message comes blaring as a trumpet. To prepare the nations against Babylon means to educate and get ready the nations of the elect for getting out the message of judgment. To call together against Babylon the kingdoms of Ararat, Mini, and Ashkenaz means to call together against Babylon the kingdoms of the elect, as the kingdoms of Ararat, Mini, and Ashkenaz all typify the elect. Then, to appoint a captain against Babylon means to submit to the teachings of the one who would have, the one you would have as your captain, which in our case is Jesus Christ. And as we submit to his teachings to bring the message of judgment in this day, we have appointed Jesus Christ as our captain, as this is what he commands in being our captain. And then to cause the horse to come up as the bristling caterpillars means to come up against this world and all the churches, that is Babylon, in the strength of the horse to bring judgment against her by devouring her food substance as the caterpillar through the declaring that there is no longer any spiritual food unto eternal salvation. Such food has all been devoured by the elect as the caterpillar, and there is no more to bring eternal life to anyone else. Now until next time, may Yahweh through our Lord Jesus Christ bless thee and keep thee. Yahweh make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. Yahweh lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace.